Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to At Home with Victoria. Now here's your host, Victoria Gaither.
Good evening, everyone.
You've been listening to At Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelly Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.
Okay, I'm back again. Sorry about that. I always forget about that track, the one that I should use versus the one that I shouldn't use. And, of course, this is what happens when producer and entertainment co-host Michael Kay is not with me. But anyway, hey, listen, thanks a lot for taking the time to join us this evening. I am Victoria Gaither, television journalist, host, and I think all-around good person. Entertainment co-host Michael Kay, as I mentioned, I gave him the night off. Decided to let him work on a few other things because he will return tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Steve Silverman is going to join us and also some other musical artists. So Michael will be back tomorrow at 8 o'clock, which is actually really good because tonight is kind of like ladies' night. We've got a little bit of everything going on tonight, focusing on a couple of nonprofit organizations in particular. We are actually going to be joined in a few minutes by Danielle Jennings. Danielle has been on At Home with Victoria many, many times before. She is the founder of Blessed Haven out of Washington, D.C., and that's a nonprofit organization that basically helps kids, but more importantly, kids who were adopted and also who went through the state-county adoption system. And then also joining us is Yana. Yana is going to be calling in around the same time, I think, that Danielle is. Yana is a contributor with Sit With Socialites. So Sit With Socialites is an organization in D.C. These are a group of women, including myself. We all contribute to Sit With Socialites. And although we're women, you know, who are mothers and who have full-time jobs and that are out there doing our thing, we have basically made a commitment to charity work. So Yana actually is with Sit With Socialites sponsoring a event this month, and the charity is actually Danielle Jennings with Blessed Haven, hence why both of them are going to be calling in very soon. Both of them happen to be, I think they're at two different charity events right now, so I know they're going to excuse themselves from the charity event, and we'll have the opportunity to talk with them for about 5 or 10 minutes before they have to go back to their charity event. And also at the bottom of the hour, something that I'm really interested in learning more about, this is through a friend and a connection on Facebook. This woman's name is Jacqueline Younger. Now, Jacqueline, from my understanding, she's a former drug addict and also prostitute. She has gotten her life together. More importantly, she is starting a nonprofit organization called TOR, and she's going to call in, I think, at around 8:30 to tell us a little bit more about that. But more importantly, how you are able to support what Jacqueline Younger is actually out there trying to do. So while we wait for our guest to call in, I wanted to play one of my favorite songs that I just simply love so much, a song by Tom Slack. Tom just does a wonderful job with music. He's been on At Home with Victoria before, and he is actually based out of California. But before we get to Tom, I see Danielle looks like she has been able to slip away from the charity event, so we're going to go ahead and get her live on the air so we can talk about Blessed Haven. Danielle, hey, how are you?
Hi. Hi, Victoria. How are you? Hi, everybody.
Great to hear your voice. We haven't heard you. You haven't been on the show in a while, so I'm glad that this event came up so we got a chance to do a quick sort of checkup on Blessed Haven and see what you guys have been up to.
Well, thank you. I have been a little MIA, but I'm glad to be back. I always love you guys, you and Michael. You guys are amazing. So thanks so much for supporting us. You guys have supported us from the beginning, and we really, really appreciate it.
Well, I can't think of a better organization to support. Now, for those listeners who are new to At Home with Victoria and don't have the pleasure of knowing all the wonderful things that you do at Blessed Haven. While we wait for Yana to call and give us sort of the 411 on Blessed Haven and what you do there.
Well, Blessed Haven is the liaison between the foster care community and society at large for youth that are transitioning out of the foster care system. So basically, we are the top gun to enable them to be able to go head-to-head with the best of the best.
And I know
a lot of times foster youth are placed into a statistic category, and they're not given those same equal opportunities. So we try to train them and mentor them and work with them and give them those same opportunities that the best of the best would have so that they have an equal chance.
And I know a lot of the work that that you do, one, of course, in particular that always comes to my mind that you personally invited me to, and that was last Christmas when you had the event in out there near Tyson's Corner. We were able to raise money so that you can get give gift cards to the girls, and they were able to go to different stores and just splurge on themselves and get whatever it is that they want. And I always remember that because I remember you telling me, you know, a gift card of $25 or $50 may not be a big deal to your average person, but for some of these teenagers, you know, no one has ever done anything nice for them through their time in the foster care system, and, you know, let alone giving them something that we take for granted as a gift card, that's a big deal for them.
Well, I was in foster care for about 9 years, and I did not receive one birthday gift, one Christmas gift, one card, none of it. The entire time. And when I aged out, I didn't really have any friends, no real close family, so I didn't get anything then either. So you kind of develop a resentment, and you feel like you are outside of everyone else, and you're on the outside looking in. And so to fill up for that void, I would buy other people gifts, and I began to feel like I was buying my boyfriends and buying my friends stuff to make them like me. And it was to fill a void that was there. And so I decided that with this organization, every single youth that has transitioned out and is in our program receives Christmas gifts, birthday gifts, and Valentine's Day gifts, so that they're always feeling loved at the times that other people are feeling loved and special.
Well, and actually it's interesting because Valentine's gift, I did not know that that was added to your list. But yeah,
is actually a sponsor. Edible Arrangements, the metropolitan D.C. area, they have become a sponsor, and actually of Canada as well. We've expanded out to Canada with the Office of the Provincial, and they have actually joined in with us so that we're able to send chocolate covered strawberries and fruit.
Aww.
And it's the coolest thing. You can say that it's from whoever. It just makes you feel special. When everybody else is receiving flowers and candies and chocolates, you're getting chocolate-covered strawberries. Nobody has to know who it's from. They just know that you're special and loved, too.
Absolutely. And I've had the opportunity to taste some of the edible arrangements. And I must say, the fruit is top quality. And my goodness, it is so yummy. Well, with that saying, one way that you are able to do what it is that you do, and that is through sponsorship, and that is through people within the D.C. community. Not only D.C., I know you also do stuff outside of the D.C. area, but mainly in Washington. So I know the reason
we've spread out. So we're at about 400 youth all across the U.S., and we're actually outside of the U.S. as well, in Canada and Ireland and Scotland as well. We conducted an international summit this past year, but we have youth in Florida, we have youth in North Carolina, Mississippi, Georgia, Texas, New York. We actually have a second office up in New York, but our corporate office is down here in Reston. So,
well, I stand corrected. That was one reason why I said I was very happy that you joined us tonight to give us an update, because that information is new to me. Not surprisingly to know Danielle Jenkins, but that information was new to me. But I was going to say one of the ways that you are able to accomplish all of this is also through sponsorship, which is why I invited you to come on tonight, because my group, who I'm a a big contributor and supporter of, Sip with Socialites. I am one of the Sip with Socialites. Yana, who's going to be calling in, she's at an embassy or somewhere in D.C. for an event tonight. She's going to slip out like you did for your event to call in. But they're actually doing an event for you, right?
Well, she is, and Yana is actually Yana is our social committee chair. Part of what we, most of what we do, everything is mentorship based, and so we invite members from the community, esteemed successful members from the community, to be mentors and to support the foster youth that are coming out of the system. So it became really hard for me to try to balance, you know, the social side. And the social societies, along with the child welfare programming, and that was getting a little tough. So we set to put together a social committee between here and New York, and they are in charge of conducting fundraising and helping conduct the social side of Left Haven. And so Yana is our social committee chair.
Well, I think that is absolutely wonderful. And speaking of Yana, Danielle, we're very happy. Don't you go anywhere, because I do think that this is Yana who is calling in. Yana, is that you?
Yes, it's me. Hi, hi, Victoria, and hi, Danielle.
Hi, Yana. Hi. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you, ladies?
I'm good. Well, I'm good. I'm going to have to step out in a little bit. I'm at the Angels of Adoption Gala with Catherine Heigl and Josh Kelly. And Neo.
Well, listen, Danielle, you've given more than enough information. It's wonderful because you kind of started the conversation where Yana needs to come in. So God bless you. Thank you so much
Great.
For stepping out to call in, and we'll continue to talk about Bless Haven, okay?
No problem. Thanks so much, Victoria and Yana, again. Thank you for helping so much. I really appreciate you so much, sweetie. And I will talk to you later. And Victoria, and hopefully Michael,
yes.
I will see you guys next week.
Yes, yes, hopefully you will. And again, everyone, that was Danielle Jenny. She's the founder of Blessed Haven. So Yana is joining us. She is one of our contributors for Sip with Socialites. Yana, what was it about Danielle and Blessed Haven that you wanted this to be your charity event this month for Sip with Socialites?
Well, first I want to address that fact about me that helping others is my passion since I was a little girl, and I always, you know, dreamed about adopting kids and this and helping people in Africa and everything else. So now, as I'm adult, I can actually start doing it, and I have been doing it in the past. You know, I've done a lot of fundraisers for different kinds of charities. But, you know, when I got approached, who would I devote my event to? Danielle's. Charity was the first which popped out my head. And the reason is why, because if you imagine that you are a fostered child and basically then the times when you have to start really, you know, entering the real world, I think that's very, very, very challenging.
Yes.
And, you know, it's very hard when you don't have any family behind you, any members behind you, nobody behind you, and you're on your own. That must be very challenging. So that's why I said I would love to devote this event to Danielle's charity, Blessed Haven. And also, you know, when she asked me to be on the social committee, I said, of course. You know, because I have
right.
experience setting up the fundraisers and, you know, make the charities more visible to other people. So it was totally my answer was yes, and it was my passion to do it.
And, you know, something that I mentioned at the top of the hour, Yana, before you came on, and I talked about Sip with Socialites, about
mm-hmm.
the women, including you and also myself, that belong to Sip with Socialites. You know, we are, you know, you're women from different backgrounds, all different career paths and lives. But one thing all of us have in common is that dedication to charity, and not charity because we just, you know, feel like we want to be at events and be seen. You know, it's not for that reason, but this is a passion that you really have to help your community. Now, you and I had a discussion earlier in terms of switching subjects a little bit, which still has to do with helping people. Yana is actually going to be doing a lot of work when it comes to life coaching. So she actually came up, guys, with the idea perhaps once a month to come on At Home with Victoria to answer your questions and to take your calls. And I just think that's wonderful because, like I said, you're a perfect person for that with your personality to know you.
Oh, thank you, Victoria. I would be very pleased to join you once a month and help other people if I can. Absolutely.
And the last question that I kind of want to ask or just to get your opinion on before you have to run back to your event.
Sure.
I was thinking about the elections are coming up and, you know, everybody's doing their thing, the Republicans, the Democrats, the Independents. And D.C. is always sort of this place I remember when I lived away from Washington that people who don't live in D.C., they only sort of think of D.C. as the White House, as politics, as government. But there's this huge community in D.C. like yourself where people really do live and work there, and the charity events that go on in D.C., I mean, you're at them, you know, you put on a lot of those events. I mean, the charity events that happen in that city is just absolutely amazing, wouldn't you say, the amount of people
yeah.
that come together to help each other?
Absolutely. It's amazing. It's really amazing. I think D.C. is one of the city I have never seen. I've traveled the world, you know, a lot. But there's so many people who are trying to make the difference and really care about others. And, you know, they devoted themselves to it. It's just amazing. It's totally amazing. It's a one-of-a-kind city. Absolutely.
Yes. I totally agree. Well, listen, in fact, just to let everybody know, Yana, you are going to be back on in the next 2 to 3 weeks so we can talk more about your life, sort of who you are and what you do, and making that transition into being a contributor once a month to At Home with Victoria. But before you go, what charity event did you step out of for a few minutes to come to make the call tonight? Where are you?
I actually stepped out. I'm in the Villar Hotel, and there's this inaugural dinner for Foundation for Afghanistan. Very interesting, with, you know, the ambassador from UAE and ambassador from Afghanistan, and they're very important people. Yeah.
Well, you go back and enjoy that event, and again, we will be hearing more from you later. And thank you so much for taking the time quickly to call in. God bless.
Absolutely, Victoria. Thank you very much, and have an all wonderful, wonderful night.
Okay, thank you so much. And again, everyone, that was Yana, who you will be hearing more about here on At Home with Victoria. And speaking of ambassador, I have sort of a list of notes that I sort of wrote to myself before the show started, and this is a great segue. I just wanted to, of course, mention the U.S. ambassador that was killed today, Chris Stevens, who that was just such a very, very sad situation, and my prayers and hearts go out to not only Ambassador Stevens' family, but also the other, I think it was three Americans who were killed also today as a result of the video that was distributed. I think it was posted online. So, you know, certainly we all love democracy, but I think with democracy also comes our responsibility. So I did just want to mention the U.S. Ambassador Chris Stevens, who was killed today. So that, of course, has been all on the news. And I mentioned the election. So election season time is coming up. And, of course, the Republicans and the Democrats had their conventions, and that was the big talk. Also, yesterday, of course, was 9/11, so I certainly can't get off the air and not mention anything about 9/11 and to all the families who lost loved ones during that time as well. One of our very good friends on Facebook, I think it was leading up to 9/11, was posting just some wonderful pictures and information every single day, was Mike Cullop's wife, and so it was wonderful to see all of her pictures and things that that she posted on there. So those are just some quick things sort of in the news that I wanted to mention. Also, I wanted to mention my very good friend who I have not heard from in ages with Video Hair Magazine. Joe is inside the chat room tonight He dropped these little clues that it was him. He wrote WJZ Baltimore. I'm thinking, I know quite a few people from WJZ, but as soon as he said Video Hair Magazine, then that was really the clue. So, Joe, haven't heard from you in a while, buddy, so thank you so much for listening tonight. And if you are still actually with us, Joe, call in because my next guest actually doesn't come on for about another 5 or 6 minutes. So call in and tell us about Video Hair Magazine, where you have been and what has been going on. The number is 718-664-9364. So like I mentioned, at the bottom of the hour, we have a young lady, Jacqueline Younger, who is going to be calling in. She's a former drug addict and also prostitute who changed her life. Can't wait to hear her story. Now, she is starting a new nonprofit organization, so we're going to learn about her and also how it is that you will be able to help her and what it is that she is trying to do. Mentioned at the top of the show, I wanted to listen to one of my favorite songs, Welcome to Piccadilly, and that's from Tom Slack. So let's listen to him a little bit before either Joe decides he's going to call in. I'm not sure if he is or if he isn't. But if not, again, we're going to wait for Jacqueline Younger to call in as well. I think my friend Joe is actually on the line. Joe, what's up?
Hey, Victoria, how you doing?
Man, it is great to hear your voice. What's funny about your call-in letters, that's my brother's email address when I saw a big hand, so I thought you were my brother.
Yeah, but see, your brother doesn't have the 1-6 on it. I have the 1-6 on the back of mine.
Exactly. I see that. So tell us what has been happening in your life, Video Hair Magazine. Get us up to date.
Well, the show's sort of taken a little break because I've had some other projects that I've been doing, and I just got back from Costa Rica here last Monday, and 2 days later they had an earthquake. So they kind of got on me about that. They said, yeah, you dropped in, dropped the quake, and dropped out, you know. But just dealing with the everyday news business, you know, that's basically what I do. But sort of needed to take a break. But as I watch the industry, I think it's time that we start getting some things going because it seems to be just so divided and it just seems to be a lot of stuff that's, you know, the information that folks need because, you know, basically, you know, when you've done the shows with us, that we are sort of a fashion, hair fashion, makeup, et cetera, information situation. And you know, it's kind of funny though, people still come up to me all the time when they see me on the street and, you know, want to know, hey, when's Video Hair Magazine coming back? And I mean, it's a lot of work and hopefully we'll be back soon. You know, it's just so much stuff going on. Had a busy day today. It seems like Baltimore is becoming a very daily violent situation, and as I was walking out the door to come home, they had a shooting, or either was a stabbing over at Morgan. And,
tell us what you can about that. I saw quite a few people post that on Facebook, so great. We've got firsthand information here, guys. Go right ahead, Joe.
Yeah, well, I don't really know a lot more than that because, like I said, I was walking out of the door very fast because I didn't want to get called, so I'd have to go. And they ended up sending another crew. But they weren't sure whether it was a stabbing or a shooting. And from my last hearing, it was a shooting. But, you know, and earlier days, you know, you've had these young kids, a kid that brought the gun to school and the teacher got the gun from him. And, you know, I tell you, I don't know what's going on. I am completely puzzled about this whole super violent kind of situation that the youths have sort of taken on here these days. And I was talking to a reporter today, and we said, you know, we're just wondering whether the youth have just given up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like they feel they have nothing to lose, so they just don't care. You know, they have no respect for life. And I tell you, for the life of me, you know, this stuff is really getting old.
Yeah. In fact, when you just mentioned not having a respect for life, I was listening to, I think it was National Public Radio today when I was inside the car, and they do a sort of a quick news break about news in D.C., and they were talking about, I may have the facts wrong, but I think it's within the past 2 or 3 days that 2 separate shootings happened in the D.C. area at high schools. And one of the mothers, of course, you know, was quoted as saying that basically she just feels like kids just have no idea about life and how fragile life is. And she also went on to say, similar to what you said, that they really just don't care anymore.
Well, I tell you, one of the things when I talk to a lot of the different kids groups, One question that I ask them, I ask them how many of them love their mother, and everybody raises their hands. And when I say that, it brings to mind a couple of shootings that I did some years ago where this kid got shot, and I could hear this voice hollering, "Oh, my God, tell me it's not him. Tell me it's not my son." And as the woman runs up the street, she's looking on both sides of the street, and people that she knows, they're turning their back because they don't want to be the one to tell her. So she gets to the police line. She runs up under the police line, and they grab her, and they lift the sheet up, and it was her son.
Mm.
And she just went nuts. And then other family members came in, and they went crazy. About 2 weeks later, in the same area, another shooting, I hear this voice again. I said, "Boy, this voice sounds familiar to me." And it was the same lady. And she got up to the rope and went up under. They lifted it. It was her other son.
No.
So I say to these kids, I said, "Do you realize the price that you have just paid for your mother's unhappiness for the rest of her life because you made a bad decision? And this woman did not deserve this, and she is ruined for the rest of her life." So for all these young men to talk about how much they love their mother, how important it is to think about what you're doing before you make her pay the ultimate price. But, you know, some of the stories that we run across with these kids, you know, I mean, I got a list of them. You know, I've been doing news for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's getting worse. You know, it is really, really getting worse with these kids because, you know, they want to bully kids. They want to be cool. And I tell them, I said, no matter how bad you think you are and how cool you think you are, you're nothing dead. They never think about that because I've seen them make excuses for their buddies getting killed. "Well, he shouldn't have went left. He should have went right." I said, "You're missing the bottom line. The bottom line is he's dead, whether he should have gone left or gone right." So,
right.
You
it's,
know,
this
has been crazy, you know.
Yeah. At that point, whether he went right, left, up, down, or wherever he went, just does
right.
it's irrelevant because he's no longer around to go anyway anymore.
Yeah. But then, too, you know, you've been in the business for a minute, and I think being in this business, we have to start putting more positive situations on this airwave so that people can see that there's plenty of people that are doing well, that they're still hope in this life. But, you know, when you see the everything in the first – the A block is just death and destruction.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then you turn the television off when all of the good stuff comes on, but that's buried so far back in the newscast that your set is off by the time that pops up. See what I'm saying?
Right,
maybe
exactly.
We need to reverse.
No, you're definitely right, and it's interesting because a question that came to my mind. You know, you and I have been doing this now. You, because you're a videographer and you're really out there in the streets a lot more than I am and was, even though we're in the same industry. I was going to ask you, do you actually see that it is getting worse?
Oh, without a doubt. And I think the sad thing about it is, when you hear statistics, you have to realize that I always say that that's a false sense because, see, you know, we have folks that get shot and they die. Okay, that's a number. We have people that get stabbed, but they might not die for another week or so. But that doesn't necessarily make it into that hard statistic, see.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, technically a stabbing is not really considered news unless it's an immediate fatal. But if they die 2-3 weeks down, you know, we don't cover that kind of stuff. So,
right.
You know, you never really hear about people, unless it's a school or something like that, about stabbings. But there's so much violence and so many ways that people are killing other people that is outside of a shooting that you never hear about it. But, you know, I tell people, I said, we are living in some very violent and desperate times, but you got to think about it. What do you want people to do? And I'm not saying that I'm endorsing violence for personal gain, but we have to start thinking about this kind of thing is, you know, I think the other thing we've seen is a lot more what I call survival crime. If you're a father, mm-hmm. you've been laid off, you come home and your children are hungry, and you go out there and you commit a crime, well, he's not a criminal. It's survival. See, what do you want him to do? You know, I think
right.
that would be the question that I would ask the president. And Lord knows, I think he's done a great job. You know, you can't expect him to come out a hole. It's an 8-year-old deep hole in 4 years. But
mm-hmm.
my question to him is, we know about your plans for the future, but what do you say to the man who is struggling right now, this evening when he goes home? What do you say to
mm-hmm.
him? What is he supposed to do? See, there's no answers.
Right.
See?
Yeah.
How
well, and in fact, when you just talked about the president, I was thinking about his home state and his home city, where, you know, you've got what the Chicago teachers have been on strike.
Okay.
I think this is going on their fourth day right now. So you've got all these kids who aren't even in the classroom learning anything right now.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I mean, like I say, everybody in. And we have the right to be concerned about our future and the survival of our future. So, you know, I think you have to realize how serious this is with the teachers. If they are prepared to let these children be out because they are worried about their future, this is a super serious matter because, you know, a lot of those teachers love these kids and they want what's best for them. But they're realizing that, look, you know, we give our all for these kids. Are you
mm-hmm.
going to take care of us? You know, that's all
right.
I want to know. Are you going to take care of us? See, and I think
sad
that they have to be the pawns in this. See, we put them up. See, but, you know, on one hand, you got to look at it one way, and on the other hand, you got to look at it the other way. You know?
Absolutely.
I mean,
you know, it's always nice to, well, first of all, I'm glad to hear your voice and to have you back. You know, you're always welcome on the show. And this was unexpected. We didn't plan for him to call in, but it's always nice to hear your perspective, especially I know everybody had been posting on Facebook about a shooting or stabbing that happened in Morgan. So thanks for calling in. You and I are going to connect because once you get the Video Hair Magazine back up and running, then I'm always there to support you because I've got a lot of story ideas that will really go well with what's going on out there now, too.
Well, that's great, and I appreciate you having me on, and you know anytime you need to holler at me, you know where you can find me.
Yes, I do. Thanks so much, Joe. I appreciate it. That was an unexpected guest, but a wonderful guest, our friend Joe Smith, who has been in the television news business forever. He does his own thing, but he also, we call it his regular day job besides the millions of other things that he does, works at WJZ television in Baltimore, and he's been there for quite some time. I had the chance to meet him when I worked at WMAR when I was a writer and producer, and they would send me out on stories with photographers, and he was always so kind. Need a resume, tape, whatever it is that you need, despite we're at different stations, you know, Victoria, I'm always here to help you with that. So I see that we've got a 301 number on the line. I am hoping that this is Jacqueline Younger, who is calling in to tell us about her new nonprofit organization called TOUR. If it's not her, we'll talk to whoever it is, and we'll continue to wait for Jacqueline to call in. But let's go ahead and see if this is, in fact, Jacqueline. Jacqueline, this is Victoria. Is that you?
It is me, Victoria. How are you doing?
Darling, I am happy. I've been waiting all day, literally, to hear about your story. Sherry told me about you, and we've been going back and forth on Facebook. So I'm just so happy to have you because I know what you have to say is going to reach a lot of people, touch a lot of women. And so I'm excited about that. So tell us a little bit about yourself and give us some background.
Okay. To begin with the background, I've seen the headlines out there, and this former prostitute gives back. I am a former prostitute. I many of you, if you live in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area, probably remember 14th Street, 14th
yes.
and K, where they had the pimps and the prostitutes and all out there. I was one of the prostitutes. And I was raised in a Christian home, and just being out there, it was just so uncomfortable. I would always pray to God, you know, God, why am I out here? And I would stay out sometimes all night just to see the women in the government going to work the next day. And I would look at them and I would just cry out to God. And I would say, God, why is it that they have that life and I have this life? I later mm-hmm. found myself on crack cocaine, PCP. Then I was homeless with my daughter. We were going from pillar to post, from shelter to shelter. We, in fact, lived in a 24-hour laundromat at one time. And so I experienced a lot of things, rape, incarceration, just a number of things. And, you know, people may not know this. They may see people out there in the streets and all, and they figure, okay, you made your bed hard. You know, you lay in it, or that's how you want your life to be. It's mm-hmm. not what you want your life to be, first of
gotcha.
All. I'm sure many of us growing up, we were asked as children in school, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I don't ever recall anyone saying, well, you know, I want to be a prostitute, or I want to
right.
be a drug addict, or I want to go to jail, you know, those kinds of things. You don't
right.
want to be that. You know, most people might say, I want to be a police officer, I want to be a doctor, a lawyer. Those things I became. And there's a lot of people out there today, I'm sure, that feels like I felt. They don't want to be there, but they don't know how not to be there. And even when you discover and find out that you don't have to be out there, you don't think you have it in you or what it takes to come out. Well, I did come out, and I now own a landscaping company. God is the landscaping designer, where I have many
mm-hmm.
different contracts with apartment complex, different stores and things like that. And once I came out, I could never get it out of my mind being out there and how it was. And in the
mm-hmm.
Bible, because I rededicated my life back to Christ, in the Bible it said once you're converted, that you must then strengthen your brother. And you got to go back and you got to bring
mm-hmm.
others out. And so I began to go to the very shelters that my daughter and I was living in and just started speaking out to the women and telling them, you know, you don't have to be here. This is not the end of it. You know, this is like
mm-hmm.
your life is like a book, and this is a chapter of it. It's not the end of it. And from that,
you know, something. Let me just interrupt you so much because I'm trying to digest every single thing that you said, and it's just an amazing story. One of the questions that I had, and I was thinking this afternoon, knowing that I was going to talk to you tonight, is that. And you touched on it just a little bit, but I want you to go more in detail with it when you said, you know, when people are being raised in your ass, hey, what is it that you want to do with your life? You know, there's no woman who's going to come out and say, oh, yeah, I want to be a prostitute. So that lifestyle for many of those women that are out there right now and when you were out there on the street, I mean, that's not a place where they want to be.
Correct. correct. It's not. It definitely was not a place where I wanted to be. I was very frightened. In fact, you know, I would tell the story all the time. As I was prostituting and the men were laying down on my body, I was literally crying. I would be in tears. And I would, you know, be praying and asking God to help me. This is definitely not what I want to be. I had a daughter, and in fact, I didn't think I could do anything else. And there were times my child was hungry. And so I would do what I needed to do or what I thought all I could do. And I remember some of the men saying to me, you know, why are you out here? You don't seem like the type that needs to be out here. And I didn't want to be out there. But I believed that that's where I needed to be. And then sometimes, you know, you go through things as a young child. As a young child, there was molestation in my life. There was a member of the family that would give me 25 cents to fondle my private area. And so at that, I was being taught then how to be a prostitute at 10 and 11 years old. And so as I got older, you know, 25 cents was great then because all I wanted was a pack of nail-laters and a chicken stick. But then as I got older, I needed food, I needed rent, and so the price had to go up. And so I found myself doing those things. And again, it definitely was, I really did not want to do it. But I remember even coming out of prostitution, I finally got my own apartment. I had a job. And my daughter was in daycare. And I couldn't afford the daycare and the apartment and everything. But the daycare provider, she would let me go sometimes. And it came to a point where she said, you know, you can't bring your daughter back until you pay. And I didn't have no other way of paying, so I called someone. Mm-hmm. And I had sex with them to pay the daycare. And I did not want to do it. I cried. I did not want to do it. But I did not want to lose my job. To me, I had a choice, either to not pay her and not having want to keep my daughter and lose my job and not pay my rent and be homeless again. And I chose to prostitute again.
Well, and you know, those are tough decisions that, you know, I think it's probably easy for people to sit around and judge and say why this whatever. I mean, I'm sure you've heard that a million times. And when you're making those day-to-day decisions about living, about how you're going to eat, I mean, Joe, who was just on, I don't know if you got a chance to hear a little bit of his conversation. He's in the news business and covers a lot of murders and shootings and stuff in Baltimore. He works for WJZ television. But, you know, he was talking about, you know, people are concerned about their future and where they're going to go. And he was talking about, you know, so what do you tell the person today who's got, you know, three or four kids that they've got to take food home and feed their kids and keep a roof over their kids? You know, what do you tell that person today? So that sort of made me think about what you were saying, having to make those tough decisions about, you know, what you needed to do at that moment today that was going to greatly affect you, as opposed to, you know, you even thinking 2 or 3 weeks down the road. You're just trying to figure out what's going to happen that night.
That's right. Absolutely. You know, when I was out there, I decided to go to this program. They had a guest speaker at the orientation. I remember her saying to us, the audience consisted of homeless women, women who were dealing with substance abuse and that kind of thing. And she told us that we need to go and get some computer skills. Now, I didn't know where I was going to sleep that night. I didn't know how I was going to feed my child or anything. And some may not understand this, but at that moment, I couldn't focus on computer skills. I just couldn't. And that's why God is Tour right now today is in existence, the nonprofit organization that I have, is that so women can have choices. There are options. This is something that you don't have to do. Unfortunately, at this time, well, right now we have apartments where we actually house homeless women and children. We pay their rent. We furnish their apartments. We give them personal development classes as well as spiritual development classes. We're starting up our administrative training soon and very soon. Now, we have other apartments available because, as I mentioned, I now own a landscaping company. One of my customers has several apartment buildings, and he's made available to God is Tour apartments at, you know, at a discount rate. But at this time, as I mentioned, unfortunately, we've housed as many as we could with the monies that we have. Just tomorrow
now,
we have.
Now, let me just stop. Let me just stop you 1 second because
okay.
One thing that I love about At Home with Victoria, about our listeners, about our viewers and people who support us all over the U.S. and also abroad, Michael and I, every Christmas, we always sort of pick a project. I have a feeling, and my executive producer is also listening to the show and behind the scenes working some more. I have a feeling we may have found our Christmas project for this year. We try to do a fundraiser, a live fundraiser with music in December, Jacqueline, and any proceeds that we get from that will generally go to that organization. Because I just think, like I said, I didn't know anything about you. I wasn't, you know, I just kind of got a little bit of information from Sherry via Facebook. And I just think that is absolutely wonderful. I mean, to be able to go to women who are prostituting, who are on the street today or tomorrow and say, hey, you know, we have a place for you where you can go. You don't have to worry about the rent. You don't have to worry about somebody knocking you over the head. You know, we're going to feed you. I mean, those are like immediate demands that I love. I love organizations like that where, you know, you're really affecting people in their lives as they need it in that time and in that moment. I mean, I'm just completely, seriously, I'm not saying it to blow smoke up your butt. I'm just completely in awe that of what it is that you guys are doing. So now I see why Sherry was bugging me about having you to come on the show, because if somebody like you who had to make those tough decisions can change your life, now you're a business owner and you have your own landscaping company to be able to go back and help others. I mean, that's just absolutely amazing. So, Jacqueline, as we speak, of course, I always get a bunch of emails, and we have some folks inside the chat room. But this is an email from a young lady who lives in New Jersey, and she says, does the organization tour have a website? And if somebody wanted to donate or even volunteer, if you've got to fix up a house or clean a house, how could they get in touch with you?
Well, we definitely have a website. It's www.godistour, that's GODISTOUR.org, www.godistour.org.
Well, our producer, Mar, she's so fast. She just posted that link inside our chat room. I'm going to post that link also, Jacqueline, on my numerous Facebook pages, my personal one, and also the one for At Home with Victoria. I just think it's absolutely amazing. So, guys, make sure you check out her page, and we're going to continue to talk about this. And also, I know, Jacqueline, as it gets closer to the holidays when we do those shows, we're definitely going to make sure that we get you in there, because I would love to help support you, especially with raising money, because I know that, you know, all of that stuff actually does cost money. And you do need money to do that. We've got time for one more question, and then actually we're going to be kicked off the air, and I think this
okay.
is an important question. This is from Sandy in Florida, and she wants to know, so what was the decision, or briefly if you can tell us what happened in your life where, you know, you didn't have to make those tough decisions anymore, and, you know, you – basically came to the realization, enough is enough, I'm not going to do this anymore. So what kind of happened around that?
Well, I actually became suicidal. I was on crack cocaine, and I did so much that I passed out. And I literally was trying to die. I came to, and I ended up, well, my daughter ended up calling the police because she thought I was dead. And the police came, but, by the time they could shake me or anything at that moment, I came to, and I told them, I said, I don't know, I wasn't feeling well, I must have passed out or something. And once they left, I then called my daughter's grandmother, and I said, look, I want to die. You know, I don't want to live like this anymore, because I did not want to live like that. The years I was out there, I struggled so much because I hated who I was. And I got to the point where I just didn't want to live anymore. I just wanted to die. And they ended up admitting me into a psychiatric ward because they said I was suicidal. Mm-hmm. But before I went in there, my aunt, my children's grandmother's sister, she prayed for me. And she kept saying to me, you can't die because God wants to use you. He's going to use you. I know he is. He's told me this. So you got to hang on. You got to, because he has something for you to do.
Mm.
And when she finished praying over me, they took me upstairs in the ward. And the entire time I was there, I started developing this desire to go back to church. And when I came out, I did. I went back to church. And I told the pastor, I said, look, I'm on crack cocaine. I want to get off. Because every time I heard her voice, I didn't want a drug. You know, I wouldn't want drugs Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. By Wednesday morning, I wanted to get high. It's like it wore off. The word wore off. So she would literally take off work and meet me at the church on Wednesday mornings to preach to me. And that's how I got off the drugs. And from that point on, I went back to school. And, I am who I am today.
I was just posting your link, and I've mentioned you a couple of times as we've been having this discussion via Twitter on At Home with Victoria and also my personal Facebook page. I have the opportunity to meet a lot of people, to interview a lot of people. I've been doing this for 18, 20 years of my life, and it's always stories like yours that just keep me going. And then just inspire me. So I just think it's absolutely wonderful. It's funny, Jacqueline, because like I'm focusing on what you're saying, but I was trying not to focus because I was going to start crying. So I had to.
I'm crying now because no, really, I got a phone call from one of the young women in the program. Again, we have at least 8 women that's on the waiting list who are homeless, and one of them is in a shelter. Well, several of them are, but one of them last day is tomorrow. And we don't have a place. Well, we have places to put them, but we don't have funds. And she has a 14-year-old daughter.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sorry. I just prayed.
No, that's okay.
I prayed. I said, God, help us. And just to hear you tonight and the things that you're saying and the people who are calling in, it's like a prayer just being answered because I want to help and I can't do it alone.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, the thing is, people, you would definitely be amazed because, like, you know, in your world, you know, you're, of course, so boggled down by making sure stuff happens and getting stuff to happen and talking to people and reaching out. But I always find that it's amazing, especially with our show, and Mark can tell you, I mean, we've got just great, you know, great supporters. And, of course, my mind is always clicking as I talk to you just about the number of people in D.C. that I personally know that, you know, may just be able to help you, whether it's the women with clothing or housing or, you know, the kids. I mean, just the opportunity to, you know, go do, you know, special events so that, you know, the teenagers don't have to think about their situation for a day or a couple of days. But it's amazing when you put yourself out there in the world and you tell people what you're doing, the amount of response, you know, that you actually get. I mean, here you are, what is it, on a Wednesday night at close to 9 o'clock on my show, and I'm telling you the amount of emails that I'm getting from people right now, and even if you look on my Facebook page, it's going crazy.
Well, praise God. That's all I can say. I thank God for the craziness. Yes.
I know.
I do. If I could just throw this out there real quick, Victoria, we are having our official launching at Bus Boys and Poets September 27th at 6 o'clock. And if anyone is interested in purchasing a ticket, it is a fundraiser to help to support the cause. They can go to our website. And again, that's www.godistour.org, and they can go to our events page and click on September 27th, and they can purchase a ticket and get all the information that they need.
Well, listen, do me a favor before the evening is over. It doesn't have to be immediately. I mean, I know you're busy and you've got other stuff that you're doing, but if you can email me that information or post me that information, because we've got a show tomorrow night And I think we've got shows next week. So although you won't be on the air with me live, I can still talk about that event and I can post it and, you know, tell people, you know, even if you can't make it, just to go to your website, you know, to donate that. And then speaking of Bus Boys and Poets, I love that place. The catfish is amazing. yeah, so that I'm actually not in D.C. right now, but if I'm actually going to be there at the time when your event is, I promise you 100% I will support you and be there for, just because also the food is absolutely amazing. My brother, who I would love to connect you with, he is a chef with a nonprofit organization in D.C., so they do a lot of stuff with Bus Boys and Poets, and
okay.
I think he can help you out a lot. So you and I are friends on Facebook, so what I will do is start to introduce you to, you know, to some of my friends who I think can help you or that you should just know. You know, maybe right now may not be the time, but, you know, maybe 3 or 4 months down the road something may come up where, you know, they may be able to help you out. But I think it's just wonderful, so I'm going to continue to support you, and you've definitely been a blessing to me. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm pretty sure you have, so I just thank Sherry for, you know, she kept emailing me saying, you've got to meet this lady, you've got to have her on the show. I'm telling you, Victoria, she's up your alley, you've got to do this, and I was like, yeah, okay, fine. You know, I get that quite often, but you know, she's always right, but she was definitely nailed on, because you are the type of person that I love to have on the show, and as a journalist to be able to help, and whose story is a great story that needs to be told. So I just want to thank you so much for, you know, for coming on.
Well, I thank you for the opportunity. I truly do. In fact, I was looking forward to this all day myself. I'm so glad.
Well,
I really. I called everyone. I said, look, don't call me. So we just signed up. I told my husband, I said, get out, go in there.
Well, one of the cool things about our show, Jacqueline, since you're kind of new to it, once you come on our show, literally, you really are a family. You just email me or text me and say, hey, Victoria, I need to come on the show, get me in. And literally, it is that easy. I mean, we don't make it complicated. You've got to go through this person, write me a format. No, just tell me what you want to talk about, call in, and it's pretty much a done deal. And the other cool thing about it is that we are, it's a live show, and after the show is over, it goes into archive, and so you can listen to it as many times as you want, and people will then take it and post it all over the place, because you do have an amazing story. And plus, we're on iTunes as a free podcast, so that's very cool that you'll be in the world of iTunes for everybody to listen to your amazing story.
Awesome. The more the merrier. The more people hear, the more people we can help. So I appreciate this
yes.
so much.
Yes, and I appreciate you. And don't forget, when you have some time, either tonight or tomorrow, either email me, or if you've got the information that you can post on Facebook about that event that you have coming up, because I want to really support you with that, so if people can't actually be there, because we have a lot of listeners who aren't in D.C., you know, they may be able to go on your website, and although they can't be there, make a donation that way. So,
yeah, we have a donation page as well. They can go to the donation page, or if they want to attend the event, go to the events page.
That's perfect.
Yep.
Well, you are part of the family. Welcome
Thank
to
you.
At Home with Victoria, and we love you. So we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thanks a lot, Victoria. Have a great evening.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Hugs and kisses. Bye-bye. What an amazing story. I love her. That was Jacqueline Younger. She's a former prostitute and drug addict and got her life together. So now she is doing amazing work where she's actually giving back. Guys, don't forget to check out her website. We've got the information inside the chat room, www.godistour.org. The information is in the chat room. Also, you can find it on my Facebook page. I've been sort of posting on Facebook as we talk about this as well. So we need to see her and help her with her upcoming events. Hey, thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it. The Blog Talk Radio is kicking me off the air, so good night. And we will actually be back on the air again tomorrow night. So good night, everybody.
dark.